Glory to God, send the light, the gospel light. You're looking good, better than yesterday and tomorrow. Meta. I know for some of you have shades, mine are like this. Those who are with us in the pavilion and those who are following online, all of us who are here, you're welcome big time. And because we appreciate you are here, and we appreciate those who are online and those who are in the pavilion, let's give a hand of cheer because of that fact. We thank God. We don't take it for granted when we can run from one Sunday to another. And so seeing each other is a miracle. Now, just before I read the scripture, those who have had a birthday this week, from Monday until today, birthday, would you just wave this side? Anyone, birthday? Or right there at the back, even another hand here and across there. Let's appreciate them. What about here? Yes, birthday. And here, okay, birthday. What about here? This week, a birthday. Napale Ju. Yes, you're doing both hands, eh? Yeah, right. What about here? Okay. Oh, yeah, birthday right there. God bless you. And here, Nauko. Yes, wengi kabisa. Like we did in the first service, we sing happy birthday for these ones who have a birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear loved ones. Happy birthday to you. May you have many more. May you have many more. Happy birthday.
God is faithful. Thank you. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke chapter 2. We're going to have an early Christmas. And therefore, I'm picking a passage that we use oftentimes during Christmas season. And Patrick, you're the one who said, Mwaka unaisha ama umeisha. So Christmas is here, isn't it? Yeah, from Luke chapter 2. And I'm reading verse 8 to verse 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then finally, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Father, in Jesus' name again, we thank you that we can gather around your word. And we appreciate the fact that your word is food, like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16. Your word was found and I ate it, and it became the joy and the delight of my heart. And same thing, Jesus, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes and proceedeth from you. And therefore, we thank you that we can gather, and Lord, that we can listen to your word. Father, as we gathered here and those in the pavilion and those following online, we pray that you bless us together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may have our seats. The title of the message is entrusted to deliver the royal message. I just read the text, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 20. And there's another passage that I'll be making reference to, Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 17. And also Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 41. Entrusted to deliver the royal message. As you know, this month, we've been looking at inherit a royal message, promote or proclaim the unknown. And Pastor Ambrose has taken us through the past three Sundays, and it's just been amazing. It's been great. So I'm here to build on that. So entrusted to deliver the royal message is an emphasis on the aspect that each one of us is expected by our Lord Jesus Christ to pass on this royal message to our world, where the Lord has actually blessed us to be. And so in this text, we find angels, or an angel bringing the royal message to a group of shepherds. And it's amazing, the delivery of this angel. And I believe that the angels of today are you and me. And God desires that we deliver the royal message in all those pockets around the world where this message is needed like yesterday. I am excited because we have an opportunity in our present world to make a difference. And you know, our current world, there's economic turmoil, there is upheaval and disagreements. We are having marriages struggling and breaking. We are having natural disasters and wars that are happening around the world. There is no better time for the world to hear this beautiful, powerful royal message than now. And the angels God is sending to all those pockets and all those spaces where God has put us, whether it's in the home, in the city, in the country, wherever God, in the schools, there are no better angels to go there than we are. And so I have broken it into three parts just for our reflection. Agents of the royal message, content of the royal message, and impact of the royal message. Agents of the royal message. God is always recruiting agents. In the Old Testament, at the burning bush, in Exodus chapter 3, God comes down because he must work through human instrumentation, and he sets up a phenomena called the burning bush. And the reason why God sets it up is because a man called Moses must become an agent of the royal message. And it's very interesting because God speaks from the bush and Moses comes close by, and God is very clear what he wants with Moses. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4, of course, God has heard the cry of his people in Egypt, and he's raising a leader, a paradigm shifter, somebody who is going to bring a whole cluster, a whole community out of a place of trouble to the place God wants them to be. And I believe that our primary mission is to lift people from where they are to where they should be. And that should be our progressive engagement and connection with those around us. So God approaches Moses. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, and he said, "Moses, Moses," because God needed someone whom he could use. And then Moses said, "Here I am." And so in today's message, the thrust is an invitation for us to respond to the call of God, to take this royal message to those places where God desires this message to be. And even as I'm speaking, and you're following online or you're here, I am sure God is opening up a world to you, even as I share from this pulpit. And God is beginning to show you your life mission, your life calling, your designation, and what God wants to do with the sum total of your talents and your gifts and privileges and positionings. Agents of royal message. So we find the difference being made because somebody shows up. In this case, is an angel. I will just read once again from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields, just like today we have many people living out there. They are living somewhere. By keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared. And you know, this angel is you and me. An angel shows up. Now that time, an angel from above, but today God is using us. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. There's something, Pastor Ambrose, I've realized, that when we are children of God, and we are royalty, everywhere we go, light shows up. It's like we are lights. It's like, and the Bible says that. I mean, and in the first service I said, there is no little candle and no big candle. In this world filled with turmoil, if a little candle shows up in that darkness, people will see it from very, very far. And because we are candles and we are lights here, when we leave after this service and we go into the places where God has actually positioned us, I want us to be reminded today that there is a light that actually ebbs out of you. When you read Isaiah 60, and we know Isaiah 60 very well, from verse 1 to 3, I would like to actually read it for us. Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." These are truth. These are reality about every one of us. See out there now how it looks outside. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Now look at verse 3. Nations will do what? Will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I would like us to read verse 3 together. And as we read, make it first person. You are saying something about yourself. Let's read it together, first person. Nations will come to my light, and kings to the brightness of my dawn. Hallelujah. Why don't we read it again? This is very powerful. Nations will come to my light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You know what? You have just said something that is true about your life, and therefore you are a light. You are very attractive, and because of this attraction, nations will come. You will be sought after. People will look for you because that light, which is your talent, it is your skill, it is your strength, it is what God has put in your life, puts you in a vantage position. No wonder Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And because of that, then you are sought after. Nations come to your light, and not just nations. It talks about kings, and kings come to the brightness of your dawn. May I prophesy now and say, you are shining very brightly. So what we normally say here, you're going to meta, what Pastor Andrews has taught us. It's not just a word hanging out there or verbosity. It is the reality about every one of us. And that means, therefore, when I walk into my family, I am that light. When I walk into my workplace, I am that light. When I walk into the streets of Nairobi, I am that light. Wherever I go around the world, the reality is I am that light. Agents of a royal message. These are carriers of a light. This message, which comes through three L's. You know, the lips, the love, and the lifestyle. You know, the word, the fruit of your lips. And, you know, the way you live, and also the love that you express, is something that is inside us and continues to manifest. And as it begins to manifest, I am telling you, nations cannot but come to our light. Right now, we are having World Cup, and it's going to start on, that is November 20th, and end on, I think, December 18th. And we have determined that nations are coming to this church. Hallelujah. We are going to be setting up screens here, and ambassadors from different nations, I can see them. And Pastor Ambrose, remember we saw them the other day when we were relocated into some nice offices upstairs. By the way, you should visit our offices now. They have been upgraded because ambassadors are about to arrive. and kings from all over the world are about to arrive. If you see our offices, sio kidogo. I mean, they have really been set up nicely. And we had seen that these nations are going to come. Parklands Baptist Church is a big light in Nairobi, and it's a big light in Kenya. And God has positioned this church for global impact, not just local impact. And to the level of nations, we shall talk to nations, and we shall talk to kings, and they shall come to our light. That's what we are prophesying. Why don't you give a hand to the Lord? This is the reality of that teaching. And so in that verse, angels come. They come to shepherds. It's at night, and they bring lights. The angels look, the shepherds look. They've never seen soft, pure, nice, not intimidating, just this permeating light. They had never seen any light like that. Very beautiful light. But that light comes there because an angel has shown up. And you know what? That word evangelist, evangelion, is really an angel. When you say evangelist, that's an angel of life. It's also an angel of light. And that's who we are, agents of the royal message. We are God's mouthpiece. Today, God is not causing those angels to show up from abstract, in the virtual world. God is making you show up in a hospital. God is making you show up in a school. God is making you show up with your idea. You go to a country, they have not solved a problem, and you show up, and with the skill and the ideas you have, you give them a solution. Yesterday, I was somewhere along Thicker Road, and I was dedicating a 5-story building belonging to one of our members, and it's done very, very nicely. I met the architect. It's done so well. It stands out. And I really appreciated him. I said, man, you are really making a difference in the marketplace. You have done such a beautiful building. Everything here, the ergonomics of designs, aesthetics of design, everything falls in place. And I told him, man, you've done a good job. Then I learned that he's a deacon in an AIC church, Jericho, AIC church, that architect. I said, you are a beacon and a light in our city. Because you've done such a beautiful building, everybody passing here will be looking and saying, hey, who is it that did this? And then very soon they'll learn is a child of God. Royal message located somewhere on a street, and everybody passing there seeing it on a continuous basis. So the world is waiting for the royal message mouthpiece. And that royal message mouthpiece is you and me. God is recruiting right here, as I share from this pulpit. And he's seeking someone who will say like Isaiah, here I am, Lord. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Here I am, Lord, send me. As I'm speaking today, is the Holy Spirit quickening something within you and beginning to show you a world that needs light and where God wants you to be like yesterday. The needs are so many. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, you find a church that is actually identifying two people to go out and become missionaries. It's a church at Antioch. Now in the church at Antioch, and Pastor Ambrose quoted this the other day, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And so, while they were worshiping at the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart. This is what God is always doing. You're attending a service like this. The Holy Spirit is doing a work inside you and also your mind, and you're feeling a shift. Don't resist it. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me. And it's very specific. Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. After they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. God is looking for someone upon whom he can entrust this royal message. In the first instance, we find the angels bringing that message. But today, it is us who are actually doing it. But secondly, content of the royal message, not just agents of the royal message, but content of the royal message. In Luke chapter 2, the same chapter from verse 10, the content. But the angel said to them, of course, when you show up in a certain community, don't just be quiet. Just begin to say something. And that something you say is content. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring good news. That's good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Now listen to this and underline. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Good news. And what is the good news? That the Messiah is here. His name is Jesus. The angel does not beat around the bush. The angel goes to the crux of the matter because he must proclaim this royal message. At the center of this royal message is Jesus Christ. And he clearly points out it out to him, to them, that the Messiah, the Savior, is actually here. The Savior is with us. If you remove Jesus from the message, then you no longer have the royal message. Jesus is the message. No wonder in Acts chapter 4 from verse 10, if you give me Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, why the early church grew very fast. The early church expanded very fast because they kept Jesus at the center of their message. Then know this, you and all these people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The stone the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. And verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The name Jesus carries the full menu that releases peace, releases salvation, releases healing, releases deliverance. It releases hope. That name releases reconciliation. The name Jesus is a gate opener. It is the one that clears the way for the next level. Where doors have been shut, the doors get open. Where ceilings have been set, they are all cleared. The name of Jesus breaks chains. It sets people free. In John 8 verse 36, the Bible says, whoever the Son of God sets free is free indeed. And so just by proclaiming the name Jesus in a community, you are introducing the full menu of the royal message. You go to a place, people have never heard about Jesus, and you just say Jesus. The Holy Spirit is able to follow up on that proclamation, and the Holy Spirit is able to touch people and begin to change their lives. If you look at Acts chapter 2 from verse 22 to 25, that's exactly what Peter did. He presented Jesus. And you know, on that day, so many people got saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to verse 25. Let me have it on the screen. That's the first sermon. It was a big sermon. And talking to so many people, he said this. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep Jesus in the grave. You know, death could not keep Jesus within its hold. The centerpiece of Peter's presentation and message there was Jesus Christ. And he talked about Jesus becoming a human being, living among us. Then he died. He was buried. On the third day he rose. And now he's alive on the right hand side of the Father. And just by the presentation of Jesus, a lot of things were happening to the congregation. Because I said, that name Jesus carries the full menu, just its proclamation. The content, therefore, of the royal message is Jesus. Earlier on, we sang a song, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, He is Lord. And we sang, every knee shall bow. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, actually, from verse 9 to verse 11. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when that name is mentioned, things begin to happen. And I want to encourage you that as you go out in the various pockets and communities, like this angel who came from above, came to shepherds, then presented the Messiah. When you go into those places, don't present so many things like philosophies and psychologies of this world. Just simply present Jesus. And I tell you, when you do that, you will see the result, because the Holy Spirit works with Jesus. People have tried to remove Jesus from the equation. Even during Christmas, you put an X and then you add Mass. People have tried to remove Jesus from schools and remove him from every other place. But I want to say, God has no other plan B. God has no other alternate to Jesus. John 14:66 says, Jesus said, I am the way. I am what? I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus remains right at the center in terms of the royal message. And so when he came to communities, he made a difference. We bring him to communities by proclaiming his name. If somebody is a cripple, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, Peter and John looked at a cripple and they said, silver and gold have I none, but that which I give to you, but that which I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And what happened? The next thing, this guy walks, he'd never walked before, and he's jumping, and he's actually praising God. Is there a crippling situation in your life? Just proclaim the name of Jesus over that situation. Is there a financial problem? Proclaim the name of Jesus over that situation. Are there conflicts within your pockets where you're operating from? Just proclaim the name of Jesus. This is the content of the royal message. We sometimes feel like it's not adequate, but that's all God has given us. And I know as a preacher that that works. In the first service, I shared how I introduced Jesus to my children. And I told them it is Jesus all the way. And Jesus touched one child after the other, and Jesus turned their lives around. What no one could do, the school system couldn't do, what no counseling could do for my children, just the name Jesus turned them around. And today, they are followers of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I shared about Jesus much more, and one day they come to me, and they told me, Daddy, you are the one to baptize us. I said, me? Yeah, they said, you are the one going to baptize us. And so I brought my children to church here. I took them to the baptistry there, near the drums. Water was put inside the baptistry. I went down into the water, and my children were standing up there. And let me tell you, this is amazing what Jesus can do. A full menu, turning young people around and causing them to make key decisions. So the first child comes and stood right there with me in the water. And I said, on the basis of the faith that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ, today I baptize you. You are buried with Christ and raised with Christ to walk in the newness of life. And therefore, I put my child in the water. I lifted my child and I said, now walk into the newness of life. As that one was going up, the other one came down. The other one came down. And the other one came down. And I thank God for this name, Jesus. It is a powerful name. It is able to change our children and is able to cause them to make the right decisions through life. This is what is the good news. The good news is the Savior has come, and his name is Jesus. But finally, impact of this royal message. The impact of royal message is a great salvation. I have just shared something about my children and the outcome of my sharing with them. In the first service, I also shared something about my larger family. In fact, somehow my firstborn brother was in the first service and he was sitting somewhere there. And my lastborn brother was in the first service. We are 13 of us. So the first one was sitting here. The 13th was actually sitting up there. And I'm the sixth. I'm the number six in that whole line. And looking at that family and looking at where we have come from and being the first one to accept Jesus in this family and the royal message flowing through me, one after the other, turning to the Lord. And some of them are leaders in this church. And Pastor Ambrose, you know them. Eastgate and also here. Hallelujah. Some are deacons. It's amazing. I'm telling you, there is a real impact when this royal message is shared out, that you see transformation and you see change. A great salvation is introduced, and this salvation dynamic lifts people first from death, the grave, like Jesus rose, and that's why it's a gospel, the salvation principle and dynamic, right from the grave. It doesn't matter how low someone has gone. It doesn't matter how lost that person looks. It doesn't matter how you feel about them or you think about them. Just simply proclaim the name Jesus. And there is a principle of resurrection that begins to happen. And this is called a great salvation. God begins to lift somebody from the pit down there and lifts them from that alcoholism or whatever problem you thought they had and brings them all the way up. And they are totally delivered and freed, and they come on the surface, and you can see the change and the transformation. Pastor Ambrose, last Sunday, you also shared this principle of transformation, and you said some things. I know also where you are, Pastor Ambrose, and God has done great things. Hallelujah. When you see him organized like this, Mahali Ametoka, let me not release the secrets, but he's here. And it's looking very good. He shared something about my Colgate incident. God does amazing saving work. The principle of salvation. And it's a great salvation. Can lift you from anywhere. You know, there's this song we used to sing. I've been changed by the power of the Lord working in me. I've been changed by the power of Christ at Calvary. I've been changed and rejoicing. I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed by the power of Christ at Calvary. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand to the Lord. I've been changed by the power. And this is what this royal message is about. It is not an exhibit message. It's a life-giving message. John 6:63 says, these words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so when we present Jesus, that he died and he was buried and he rose on the third day, it's a full menu. And the impact is that it brings salvation, brings healing, brings restoration. And you can see the manifestation. The impact is that people's lives are changed. And so Peter's preached a sermon. And 3,000 people turned to the Lord. It must have been surprising for Peter. Never seen anything like that. Do you know John 15:16 says, I have ordained you, I have chosen you, that you should bear much fruit. And I can imagine Peter seeing a whole crowd of people coming to the altar call. 3,000. Other things had tried to change those guys, but they could never be changed. But suddenly just presenting Jesus and presenting the cross and presenting the gospel, just that, the royal message, the Holy Spirit worked with that material and people's lives were touched. 3,000 men and women came forward. That means their families were going to be changed irreversibly. A guy who'd never show up at home suddenly will show up in good time. A guy who would not take care of the children, play with the children, suddenly comes home and is holding the children and spending time with them, doing homework with them. A lady who was caught up in so much all of a sudden the dynamic has changed. How do you explain this? How do you explain it? It is a powerful gospel. And therefore, this royal message brings about a powerful impact. And it is the same message we want to share even as the World Cup. This is Qatar. This flag is for Qatar. And World Cup is happening in Qatar. As that one is happening, we are trusting God for the nations. Now the nations coming here to watch the football. We are simply going to share this simple message. Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King. And we believe that message can change this nation. By the way, I'm praying Jesus into Qatar nation. Hallelujah. God is able. That is my prayer. This nation. Jesus Lord over this nation. And you know what? Pastor Ambrose, you always amaze me. Because you've already prepared some booklets. This is for World Cup. Prepared by Reverend Ambrose Nyangao. So we are ready with the royal message. And we are ready to release it. What we are doing next Sunday is passing this around so that everybody can take it somewhere. Okay, we'll consult a little more. Next Sunday. Of course, I say that with permission. And it's a very beautiful booklet. I've looked at it. And that's what we want to do. We want to take this royal message as far as it can go. Thank God for these cameras. Thank God for internet. We are now all over the world. Even as I'm speaking right now, there are so many people who are actually now following online, and others are going to follow later, so that this message can reach everyone up to the last person on the mile. And my prayer is this, that today, even as we come to a time of prayer, that you will accept to be one who will deliver the royal message. I read something about marathon and how it started. There's a guy who was running to present a message from a place called Marathon. There was a battle in Marathon. And then the Greeks won this battle against the Persians. And there was a guy, the name starts with a P, Philip something. And he ran 40 kilometers to Athens to be able to pass a very important message. And this message is that the battle is over, the victory has been won, and there are so many people who are in houses right now, they need somebody to show up there and tell them the battle was won 2,000 years ago. This struggle you are going through, that battle was won for you long time ago. And I'm just here to announce to you that the battle is over. May you now receive your victory right now in the name of Jesus Christ. So many people. So as we go out, and we also always pray here, you get visas. That's our prayer. We've prayed to Pastor Ambrose for many years. Over the years, we have seen it in reality. God has opened doors. We've been here the last 22 years since year 2000. And we were the other side before that. We have walked this journey. And we have seen people grow. We have seen people blessed. We have seen doors open for people. And we've prayed about passports and visas. And even now, as I'm speaking from here, I'm making a proclamation in line with this message I'm preaching here. May doors open for you, visas be stamped for you. May those doors open for you. May you reach that destination because you have a royal message. And we have seen God promote people, not just going through doors and gates of boundaries, but also going up in terms of their workplaces. And we have prayed for ceilings to be removed for years. And we have received testimonies all the time. One of the deacons, Geshingiri, am I allowed to say this? Okay, hallelujah. Thank you very much. Something big has happened in the last 2 weeks. Yes, that ceiling removed. An acceleration. I'm telling you, if he was here, he would tell you, and he's here. Yeah, acceleration. Let me tell you, this royal message, because God wants you to take it there, those ceilings are being removed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you believing me? Yeah, let's take it. Let's believe it. So finally, when these shepherds went and saw the Messiah, they were never the same again. Their whole world was changed. Gloomy people became joyous people. They became happy people. People who are relegated to the backstreams of life and the margins of life all of a sudden they come to the front and they are speaking to groups of people and they are telling them what they have seen. And I thank God that he trusted shepherds, people, ordinary people, with this message. They were the first ones to go out and begin to talk about Jesus Christ. And so today, as we get to a time of prayer, I want us to know that we have all these opportunities. We have a message. We need to pass it across, and let us do it immediately, because Jesus said, you say yet 4 months and then the harvest. Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. God wants it done, like he said, and he'll give you the power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. And Pastor Ambrose, again, thank you for writing here the power of the God factor. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So as you go out, there's a God factor. You're not going in your own strength and in your own power. God is actually going with you. And I believe that God is opening doors for someone here. And he's opening these doors so that you can reach those levels and bring the royal message there. So let me say again, nations are coming to your light, and kings are coming to the brightness of your dawn. So today, is there somebody saying, yes, I have heard what you have shared, Pastor. You shared about an angel who came long time ago, faithfully entrusted with a message brought to the shepherds. He spoke in a way that they understood, and those shepherds picked it from there. Following those instructions, they were led to Jesus, because the core of the message was pointing to Jesus. And then those shepherds were turned around, and there was so much joy in their lives. And you're saying, Pastor, I know I'm the angel of today. As I leave this service, God has put in my heart pockets of darkness, and I know I'm equipped now because I have the name of Jesus. From this service, I am that agent who will carry the royal message to that pocket from this service. And I am going to be used as an instrument of the kingdom. God is recruiting. There is a burning bush moment. God is here. And God is calling you by name. In fact, you can sense it inside you. There is something burning inside you. That is the Holy Spirit, as this pastor is preaching from here. Don't be a Jonah. Because what Jonah did, he heard very clearly, and God was calling. And he said, I have chosen you to go to Nineveh. You have to take a royal message there, because that place is very dark. The situation is dire. It's you to provide a solution in that place. And Jonah thinks he knows better than God. And therefore he tries to quench that voice, to suppress it. He finds he can't suppress it. And he decides, I have to physically remove myself, as if you can run away from God, and just go away. And he gets into a ship going to Tarshish. It's a commercial ship. And he gets in there, goes to the stern, and he sleeps. And you know what? There is trouble in that ship. Let me say this. God wants you to be where you need to be according to his plan and will. When we go elsewhere, there'll always be trouble. And you know what? Finally, they figure out it's Jonah. And Jonah is thrown into the waters, and a big fish swallows him, and he has free transportation for about, I think, 3 days, 3 nights, all the way back to the shore. When he's coming out, the chemicals of the fish, you know those, are they called enzymes? They have worked on his skin pigment, and he must be looking ash white, something like this. So he was a phenomena. So it was not even difficult to evangelize. He shows up in Nineveh, and the crowd is coming. They have never seen a human being like this. No, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through the Jonah experience. God is simply saying, when I'm recruiting and the Holy Spirit is moving within you, it is you I'm talking about, and I'm calling you by name to be the carrier of this royal message. Be like Isaiah, Isaiah 6 verse 8, and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me, just do with me like Mary, the mother of Jesus, also said, I am here, I am your servant, I'm your instrument, take over. take over. Let my body and my everything be used for your will. And Mary became the mother of Jesus just because of that response. Jonah eventually obeyed, and the whole city, about 120,000 people, were turned around, including the king himself. They fasted in sackcloth. The whole place was actually changed. One man submitted to God, one woman submitted to God, will change a family, will change a city, will change a nation, and will actually change the nations. And Pastor Mashina, thank you so much for that theme for the World Cup, because Psalms 2:8 is our theme as we take these nations in Qatar. Yes, where it says, ask of me the nations and I'll give them to you as an inheritance. And so every day we are praying for every nation. We started last Wednesday. Did we pray for Ghana? Qatar was the first one. And we prayed for Ghana already. And we are covering all the 32 nations that are going to Qatar for the World Cup. And we're going to follow the whole schedule all the way to the end, the final. And therefore, as a body corporate, we are releasing the royal message. Thank you, Pastor Mashina. But also as individuals, as we live here, may God just use you greatly and powerfully. If you need help from someone, please turn to somebody who you have seen really release their light, or go to our Connect tent after this. Talk to the team there, and we can work together. I'm available. Pastor Ambrose is available. The pastors and deacons here are available, because that's our core business. We have no other business but to introduce Jesus to every man and every woman on planet Earth. We have no other business. And we have done it for many years. And I want to encourage you, connect and begin somewhere. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. The words are on the screen that are inspiring my prayer even as I pray. That is Isaiah. In his time, he said, here I am, send me. Let's all be upstanding now as we pray together. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you so much for the angel who obeyed those many years. And because of that angel's obedience, we are beneficiaries to this day. Thank you, Lord, that that angel brought a royal, powerful message to the shepherds, ordinary people, and it was at night. Light shone in the darkness. And the crux of that message was you, was Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And my God, I thank you that those shepherds followed through and eventually engaged Jesus. And their lives were turned around irreversibly. My God, you are calling us to be those angels in the 21st century. My Lord, I know we are living in the technology age, the digital age. And with all the trappings of life surrounding the 21st century person, there is a deception of feeling like we have arrived. There is a deception of feeling like man, and through his knowledge, can solve all the problems of humanity. There is that deception. And God, we are gathered here in this century listening to a message such as this. And Father, we want to acknowledge that we are the angels of today, and that there is something we carry that the world cannot offer, even money cannot offer outside there. Education has not succeeded to bring happiness and joy in people's lives. Even relationships have not cracked that nut. Lord, experimentations out there and trying to pursue happiness in the wrong places. But God, you have given us this message that as angels that we can take out there. And today, Lord, we pray that you lead us to the place where we can begin to see with new eyes the need that is there in the world, but also the solution that we carry within ourselves, the light of the gospel, the royal message, and that we need to communicate it and we need to pass it on to somebody else. My Father, as I'm praying, I know that you're opening our eyes to see the harvest. You're opening our eyes to see what we need to do. And my God, I know there are those who are going to use their skill, their talent to be solution providers. Some will move into YouTube and create YouTube platforms. And God, there is a diversity of approaches in terms of creativity for us to bring light to a dark world. God, I know there's somebody who will be releasing scriptures every day and sending a verse of the Bible to their friends all over. There are different ways, my God, and I pray you open our hearts and our eyes to see that everyone can pass on this royal message. Everyone can. Lord, open our eyes to see. And therefore, Father, I pray for this person who is here online and also in the pavilion, who is saying, yes, it is me. Nations will come to my light and kings the brightness of my dawn. I have a light within me, and this light is the royal message. I am going to take it to the nations, and I will have these nations drawn to me. My Father, I thank you for this person, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you encourage this person who is right now seeing a world where they can make a difference. My God, I know as you open these doors, the ceilings will be removed and people will move from level of glory to a higher one. As you open, Lord, this open our eyes, the boundaries will melt and visas will be granted, because this message must be taken quickly to those destinations. Father, there is this person, and the unlocking of their destiny is dependent on the release of the royal message and their commitment to serve you in this particular way. There is that person in this congregation, pavilion, and also online. Wherever you are, God is calling you by name like he called Moses, Moses. And it's up to you now, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to respond. What I'll ask you is a very simple exercise as an act of faith, because God sees and God knows and he understands. And even if you're online, you can put your hand somewhere online. What I'm asking us to do is put your hand up and put it down. Just upstairs, downstairs, across, in the pavilion, just put it up and put it down. God can see. My Father, I thank you for these hands that have come up and also come down. Lord, they have been lifted by faith. You are the God of the next step. And as you told Joshua, everywhere you step, I've given to you. Now following that decision, my God, you have ordained the next step. And I pray that you orchestrate things in such a way. One thing will lead to another, will lead to another. Father, you are opening those doors and you are raising these angels to go to all those pockets. Some pockets are very far, in the Middle East, in the US, in South America. Some are very near, in our own neighborhoods. That in your own way, one step after the other, you will orchestrate things, promotions. Lord, just do it. And God, you'll pave that way for us to be in those places where we can make a difference. But secondly, Lord, as you orchestrate the whole arrangement, I'm praying for power, because oftentimes, Lord, we are afraid and we don't know whether to try and then it fails or what to do. But Jesus, we know you are the one who is in charge. I pray for power. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I pray for this power. And my prayer is that you open yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, he is wonderful. He is sweet. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit is able to do in a life of a person. Just turn them around, give them courage, and beautify this royal release of the message, and you see nations come into your light. May you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, finally, I pray that you grant the resources needed for the person who has responded to be able to reach the farthest persons on planet Earth for your glory. Protect us and cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we've prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all say, let's give a hand clap to Jesus. God is good. Hallelujah. Our benediction today is a priestly blessing that comes from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to verse 26. And that priestly blessing has six elements. And they come like this. Number one, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. May the Lord give you peace. Is somebody receiving that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are blessed on Monday, blessed on Tuesday, blessed on Wednesday, blessed on Thursday, blessed on Friday, blessed on Saturday. And like Pastor Ambrose puts it, next Sunday you come with a testimony. You are blessed through and through. And with this blessing, you are covered. Nothing funny will happen to you this week. You know, last week I had something funny happen to me on the 20th Mashujaa Day. I just saw a call coming from New Jersey. And I picked the call. And after that, my phone went black. And restoring has been work. I lost contacts, lost WhatsApp, lost icons, all those, almost everything there. But God is restoring. Hallelujah. That's what I'm saying. This week, nothing funny happens in your direction. And so in case somebody sent you a text with my picture asking for money, because I know some, and quite a number of people got that, with my picture, it was not Pastor Simon asking for money. That was a con man. May that con man turn to Jesus Christ right now. I mean, the Holy Spirit, arrest him and turn him around for God's glory. So this week you are fully blessed. That's why we release the blessing. And you are fully covered. And nothing funny from hell will trespass and come and interact your peace. In Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Thank you.